Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and each week in December, our food and entertainment gurus, Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds, stop in with ideas about food and entertaining. They're the authors of Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party. They still host their Sunday night dinners, Supper Club in Astoria, and also each have a food blog. In the last couple of weeks, we've heard about entertaining on a budget, always good, in any time, certainly good in these times, and about food gifts for the holidays. Today, we'll talk about food traditions, which have a huge role in the holidays, and they've graciously agreed to stick around again today. Tamara and Zora have for a little while after the on-air visit for a continued online chat. So Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for joining us every Thursday this month.
Our pleasure.
And I know most of the holidays being celebrated around now have religious origins, but sometimes it does seem to be all about the food, doesn't it?
Yes, correctly so.
All just an excuse.
As the latkes go flying
right,
out the window.
Right.
It's not Christmas or Hanukkah, or in honor of our new city councilman and queen, Solstice, without this cookie or that latke or that wassail. Do you each have a food tradition that you observe every year, Zora? Do you?
Oh, well, I make fruitcake, which is not
you
as...
You don't, really.
I do, and it's really good. It gives fruitcake a good name. Again, it deserves it.
That's not an oxymoron, good fruitcake.
No. This year, I actually put the recipe up on my blog, so I want to share the knowledge that fruitcake can be good.
Tamara, food tradition?
Yeah, I go back and forth. This year, I'm sort of recreating my parents' bastardized English situation, so we're going to have some oyster stew, and then we're going to have some latkes for my husband, and we're going to have some wild boar ragu over pasta in honor of the Italians, where I've been spending the last 10 years, where they do the Feast of the Seven Fishes up in Connecticut. And I will be missing that this year, but I'm gonna stay home and tough it out and cook myself.
So, listeners, call us with your food traditions, even if you just invented them, at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are there Kwanzaa foods? Anybody want to call in with traditional Kwanzaa foods? Are there foods associated with Kwanzaa, which begins December 26th? 212-433-WNYC or any of your favorite holiday food traditions and maybe even how you make them. 212-433-9692. And in a multicultural city like New York, you don't have to stick with the tradition that you grew up with. There are so many to choose from. Maybe you have added someone else's holiday food tradition to your repertoire. How has that gone? And if you're an immigrant from anywhere, maybe there's an Indian American winter solstice holiday food tradition that, you know, that goes with Christmas, even if you're not Christian, or if you are Indian or Indian and Christian, just to use one example, people from anywhere in the world. How about your food traditions for this time of year in particular for Tamara and Zora? 212-433-9692. You know, AM New York had an article yesterday about some traditional foods like jelly donuts for Hanukkah and tamales Mexico.
Yes.
And some New Year's traditional foods like lentils for Italians and mochi in Japan. That's a whole other holiday. Do you have New Year's traditions?
Oh, well, rolling delicately out of bed
at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Making some Hoppin' John, watching some movies.
Here are the dog. You know what? Let's take a phone call. Lynn in Mamaroneck. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What you got?
Well, all my life, my Scandinavian relatives from the Midwest have sent us for Christmas a wonderful, wonderful Danish Kringle. And it, they're just buttery and delicious, and we've always had them for Christmas morning breakfast. They come in all kinds of flavors, but our favorite is almond paste. With
delicious
a sugar glaze on the top.
This is hilarious because my mother's maiden name is Kringle, and she's from a very small town called Hortonville, Wisconsin, and she made this dessert all through my childhood as a desserty thing, and then my grandmother would make it and send it to us all through the year, and my mom convinced me it was their family's special dessert, and I only found out it was Danish like 2 years ago when I tried to look up a recipe.
Lynn?
Well, I'd love to give a shout out to the bakery because they deserve the business. It's O and H, like Ollie and Helga, although I don't know what it stands for. O and H Danish Bakery in Racine, Wisconsin. Yeah. They have a wonderful website.
There you go.
Nice. All right, Lynn, we'll look for that. That sounds delicious.
Thank you very much. And Gabrielle in Brooklyn writes on our webpage, my mom makes my great-grandma's Russian apple pie, and she says it's only Russian because that's where the family is from. Every year, it says Russian as grandma and apple pie. Every year she swears she sees her profile in the dough as she rolls it out. I don't believe her, but it's cute, writes Gabrielle. And so, listeners, you can add your favorite holiday tradition on our website as well. And remember, too, if you don't get enough of Tamara and Zora on the air, in about 10 minutes, they will continue off air for an online chat with some of you at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Andy in Wilton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andy.
Hi. My family, we make a tutière, which is, I guess, Franco-American or Canadian, maybe. Yeah. And it's a pork pie that my mother's mother, always made around Christmas. And now we've continued to make it every Christmas and all the other holidays, but it's really good. It's like a pork butt, I guess. I don't really know what kind of meat it is, but ground pork with lots of cloves and you boil it and it smells really good and it's really delicious.
That's a Montreal thing. My husband just told me about that tradition this year.
Thanks, Andy. Javier in Patterson, you're on WNYC. How you doing, Javier?
Good, Brian. Thank you. My family's from Peru, so we've always made for every Christmas a Peruvian style spicy duck using Peruvian pepper, like called a jipanca.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, we decided now we're going to add for this Christmas a you could say almost like a rabbit stew, but made within a peanut sauce.
Oh, fantastic. I was just in the store yesterday looking at all the Peruvian ingredients and thinking, I need to know how to use these. So maybe I'll start with some of that.
Javier, thanks. We're getting such great ones.
I know.
Aren't
we? It's really so delicious.
Good, unusual ones from everywhere. Thomas in Philadelphia, you're on WNYC.
Wow.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What you got?
Well, I'm originally from the Midwest, and we used a lot of pork products, too. I just heard one of your other guests saying something about a pork pie, which sounded interesting, but this one's a little
I thought he said pork something else. But
yeah. Well, this, our tradition, it's an African-American tradition. It comes from the South originally, but it's to cook chitlins. We do it on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Chitterlings, the proper pronunciation, but chitlins for short, and you just basically take the whole intestine and tear off the whole inner part of it and clean them very well, of course, and then you boil them. I like to add cilantro and fresh garlic to mine.
Oh, that sounds good. I know they're a good hangover cure.
That's what I hear.
Very delicious.
Thomas, thanks a lot. On our webpage, Marissa comments, I've got lots of Hindu, atheist, Christian, Catholic, Muslim, and Jewish friends, but the one thing we all enjoy is the cookie party I hostess every year. Notice hostess as a verb. A huge variety of cookies and blank gingerbread people, which my guests decorate themselves.
Oh, nice.
Brings our disparate beliefs together for some holiday joy and appreciation of the little things in life.
Yeah, I think cookies unite the world, really.
Have you ever done a cookie swap?
I have not, and
that organized.
Yeah, I haven't even heard about cookie parties until last week when two of my friends were invited to cookie parties, and I said, what is a cookie party?
We've been having them all without you.
I know, no one told me. I can make cookies.
People say it allows you to specialize in one cookie and yet have many kinds to give as gifts.
Yeah, because it's really easy to burn out on your one cookie. You're like, I never want to see it again.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know if anybody has time to specialize in cookies anymore. What do you do? I specialize in cookies. Well, I'm a corporate lawyer by day, and now I specialize in gingerbread cookies.
Don't laugh. I know people who like wait all year to sort of get that out, and it's like the antidote to all their day job.
Very therapeutic, Brian. You should think about it.
Baking.
Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds, authors of Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party. They're talking with us about holiday parties every Thursday this month. I don't want to confuse people. Next week it'll still be Thursday.
Yes.
And they will stay with us at the top of the hour for an online chat when they're done here on the air. Oh, we talked about New Year's. Dale in Seaford Harbor has a New Year's morning tradition. Is that right?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Dale.
Yeah, the morning thing, for years, I was making very easy crepe Suzette.
Wow.
You get a good pancake mix, like Duncan Hines, any of the Duncan Hines, even the blueberry. And then you get some Minute Maid orange juice, and you don't follow the recipe on the box. You make the orange juice, dilute it with water more than you normally would. Mm-hmm. You could dilute it with vodka if anyone's hungover.
I was just going to say no.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And then you get it to a very thin consistency, not the way you would make flapjacks, but the way, and you prepare a pan with canola or whatever, and then you pour this, and be careful not to pour too much, or you will have a pizza.
All right, Dale, thank you very much. Of course, New Year's morning is in general a good time for diluting things.
Yes. I've got to say, it's very bold to be lighting things on fire very early in the morning on New Year's Day.
That seems scary.
I applaud you for
any morning.
Sarah from Brooklyn on our website, my mom's side is Italian and my dad's side is German. So Christmas Eve is the Feast of Seven Fishes, and my mom makes these phenomenal oyster Rockefeller, and my grandma T makes this great calamari with olives thing. Then Christmas dinner is thankfully quieter with sauerbraten, red cabbage, and spetzels.
Nice.
And my aunt makes me my favorite strawberry rhubarb pie. Mmm, Christmas.
In December?
So.
Wow. Impressive. Where does she get the rhubarb?
Good question.
She must save it.
Like, you know, you can import anything from anywhere these days.
That's true.
Not if you're a locavore. There was an article in the Times food section yesterday about making German Stollen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it takes 4 days.
Yes. Well, we used to make that at my house, actually. That was our traditional breakfast, Christmas breakfast dish. It was Stollen. And then one year, my mother opened up that 70s cookbook classic, The Vegetarian Epicure, and happened to find a quick bread Stollen recipe, and that's what we've made ever since. I feel really wimpy, but it's really good, and you can make it that same morning.
How long does your fruitcake take?
Oh, my God.
Her fruitcake brings all the boys to the yard.
You know, there's a great Christmas story by Truman Capote about making fruitcake with his aunt. We have Italian panettone, or some people say panettone,
yeah,
in the office today. Does every European culture have its own variation?
Yeah, I think
wonder.
So. Yeah, the bread with all the sweet fruit.
Yeah.
Mm, so good.
And we get black cake every year from our friend Jackie. She starts hers in July. But, yeah, and that's like a fruit cake that's been soaked with rum.
Hey, here's somebody who has a solstice party, Diana in Atlantic Highlands. Hi, Diana.
Hello.
And is there a solstice food that's different from a religious tradition food?
Not really, in the sense I combine the solstice with St. Lucy's Day, which is December 13th.
Yes.
And before the change to the Gregorian calendar, St. Lucy's Day used to be on the solstice, the shortest day of year. So I steal some Swedish traditions and make lussekatter, which are Swedish saffron buns, which are very yellow, I think, to resemble the vacant sun, which is not making much of an appearance these days.
That's an image.
I make glögg, and also the Sicilians celebrate St. Lucy's Day, so I make chickpea fritters as well.
Oh,
ooh,
neat.
Nice.
That sounds like a great
mix. I'm coming
to
your house.
And it's funny. I always think of St. Lucy as the martyr who in all the depictions, has her eyes on a plate. So I wonder, I don't know if you can make
would
eyes
make eyeballs,
on
too.
Exactly.
I think that's better for Halloween. But yes, she had her eyeballs gouged out. But her name, Lucy, of course, connected to Luce, which means light.
Right,
She's connected to our hope for light on these very dark days.
How about that? Diana, thank you very much. And Hanukkah, the festival of light.
Yeah.
During last week's online chat, speaking of Hanukkah, you fielded a question from a Jewish woman with a pork-eating boyfriend who hosts a latkes and ham party every year. I see a lot of Jewish mothers cringing right now at the thought. I guess that's one way of dealing with cultural diversity, mashups.
Just throw it all in there, mix it up.
Yeah.
You know. Everybody can pick and choose what they want to eat.
And if oil is the essential ingredient to latkes that makes them about Hanukkah, maybe it's squeezing out the liquid in the shredded potatoes that's the essential part of making them tasty?
Yes.
And
extra crispy.
And holds them together and keeps them crispy. Yeah.
Never thought of potatoes as particularly water-bearing, though.
Tons of water in potatoes. Yeah. Very strange.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, at least on the air. Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds will be online to chat starting in just a couple of minutes as soon as they can get out of the studio and over to the computers. You can start posting your questions for them now if you haven't already. Just go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and follow the link from there. You can listen to the show and do it at the same time, multitask, while we talk about lots of interesting things. Their cookbook is Forking Fantastic. Put the Party Back in Dinner Party. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Have
Thank
fun
you.
On the online chat. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Brian
See you next
Lehrer
week.
On WNYC.